You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
Due to technical difficulties, part of this talk is missing.
Brilliant. So I'm throwing questions at you now that aren't on the list because I think it's great.
You.
So I am sorry about that. You can tell me off later. So what have been the deep learnings? I'm not going to call them mistakes, only deep learnings in this. So we all have our nice pretty diagrams that perhaps Andy's done for us. We have our strategic documents that help us put everything in place. But what have you learned about it? But also, what have been the surprises, the deep joys that you've gone, oh, wow, we stepped out and did this and actually we had no idea this beautiful thing would happen. So should we start with the deep learnings? We'll start with the other one if that's easier.
Yeah, I'll start with the other one because it's popped to mind quite recently. So you've probably heard on the news about the riots in Hull just the other week. And for me, it was, this is what Kairos is about, in that we were able to talk to the Oasis Community Church in Hull and together opened a safe space for people. And to just to be able to do something in response felt like that's what Kairos is about. It's not about us having a program. It's not about us doing all these things. It's about looking at what's happening and how do we respond to that? And there was learning in that a lot of people didn't feel safe enough to come to the safe space because it involved going out of their homes. So there's learning there. But actually, it was a good thing to do and has started other conversations and that recognition that we need to have braver conversations. And some of the people who came were from other groups like Cooperation Hull and other people that we might not have otherwise met who are sort of on the same page. And so I think there's a lot of learning about partnering, not having to own everything, not having to even invent or deliver everything, but being part of the good things that other people are up to and adding momentum to that as well.
Fantastic, thank you. So one last question and then I won't throw any other random questions in. Kairos is something that's inspiring others throughout the Methodist Church and I think wider because of what you're trying to do, not saying you have all the answers, but traveling together and working out what it is to enable other pioneers to become a part of the Kairos movement. What is it that you hope? What is it you hope for as the Kairos movement and as a leader within it?
It is that encouraging other people and providing spaces where people can learn how to reflect well and have the coaching and the support that they need. And I think I know that there are boxes and hoops and everything, but I think that idea of having somebody who is supervising and supporting you in what you're doing is really important. And it's how we do that without it being a restrictive thing, but it being an empowering and releasing people. We have a number of people that are involved in different things. So we have like Pieced Together, which is a creative therapeutic course, and somebody's offering Tea to Go, which is a space where local families can come and take home a meal for the family, but in the going, and there's the social element of going and meeting. And so, and Chris and I are involved in something at Selby Street, which is a space that we just open up for anyone that's passing, and there's a shower and food and good conversation, isn't there? So it's about making safe spaces where people are reflecting on what's happening, so we're not just doing and we're not just doing without thinking as well.
Leanne, thank you so much. Should we give Leanne a round of applause? Thank you. Brilliant. So I'm going to hand back to Tina now to take us to the next space. Thanks so much, Leanne.
And just to ask, Leanne, are you willing to answer questions if people want to ask you anything later? Yeah, great.
So we heard a little bit of how the Methodist Church, through the Kairos program, is creating space for new things. And that's what we're really interested in. And this is part of what this time conversation is about, is what about those dreamers? What about the people who have ideas? What about the people whose heart is for unconnected people in our congregation or in our communities? What about them? How do we nurture those dreamers who just want to see more people have a chance to be part of some form of Christian community? And so that's what we want to explore a bit more. And Tina's going to lead us in our next discussion.
So it was lovely that Leanne talked about reflective spaces. And at CMS, if you there's a CMS stand on the charity stand where you can find about learning with CMS. But we have a phrase called "the wisdom is in the room." So we believe that here, you may share that saying, here in this room, there is wisdom about how we enable people with those dreams to get out of the box that they may feel they're in and bring those dreams to the community, the church and the world. So here's a question for you on your tables. By the way, if you're looking at vegan gummy bears, do eat them or take them away. And if you've got Play-Doh, please open your Play-Doh packs and they can really help you think. So here's the question. What good practice have you implemented yourself or seen in other people that would nurture and liberate dreamers? So that's quite a long question. So first of all, what have you done that has helped nurture or liberate dreamers? And or if you haven't done that, what really good practice have you seen maybe in another church leader or a friend or heard about through your social networks? And if you could chat about that, we will ask for feedback from each table in 30 seconds. Not in 30 seconds from now. You've got 5 minutes to chat and then we'll ask you for 30 seconds feedback. Is that okay? Can you give me a shout if you've understood the instructions? Thank you. Well done. Can we call you back? We are really looking forward to the wisdom at your table. And could you just take a moment to agree on one of you being brave and being willing to feedback the wisdom on your table to the room? And I might have to ask you to come to the mic if you're a bit further away. So I will just give you a minute to decide what is the nugget you think is worth sharing with the whole room that you could share in 30 seconds. And Greg's got a timer. He's quite ruthless about this thing, sort of thing. Who's going to feedback? What's it going to be? And in 30 seconds, I'll be coming asking for you to contribute. Okay, we have our first contributor over here. Would you mind standing up and coming to the mic? I'm so excited about this.
Hi, we've just moved and we have...
Can I ask you to... Well done.
We've just moved and our life is full of boxes unopened. And there's something we're learning from a friend of ours, which is as you see something and you know you've got to get rid of it because you've got too much of it, you say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much. So I wonder how we do that with things in our churches. How do we say thank you for that? It has served us well. You have given us joy. And now we need to send you to the recycling. Next table, please. Thank you.
So at our table, we were talking about having the freedom to fail. So you can fail fast and you can fail forward. But we were also talking about out of chaos, and that actually if we focus exclusively on the end goal as the sole result, that can be very stifling. But if we enjoy the journey, we can learn quite a lot along the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A round of applause. Yeah, I love that. Yep. Let's encourage one another. Build that vibe. Who's next? Thanks, Sally.
We talked about being patient and listening to other people's dreams, because they might not be the same as what you think they are. And then to provide space and enabling. Yeah.
Thank you. Provide space and enabling and listen to each other's dreams. Thank you, sir. Oh, this is so exciting. Lots of volunteers. It's all right. We have time, all the time. I recently heard that time never runs out. We might run out, but time doesn't.
So I talked about low accountability. High accountability and low control. And making sure that if we are structures that need a bit of control, make sure you've worked out all the stuff that you need to work out in advance, so that when the dreamers come along, you're ready to give them the accountability they need, but not control it so much that they can't get on with what they want to do. So allow the dreamers to do what they want to do and give them the accountability and the support that they need, but get your stuff sorted out in advance.
Thank you very much. Next, please. So I sometimes think about that as creating the playground that's got safe boundaries and then let people play within it.
Yes, ours was know your community well and also give lots of responsibility, but lots of support with that responsibility.
Thank you. Give lots of responsibility and lots of support. Any more for any more? I'm sure there's more wisdom in this room. Thank you. Oh, I'll come to you, yes. I realise my feet work, yeah.
We learned that it is natural that some things come to an end, and we live in hope that new things will emerge.
Thank you. It's natural that new things come to an end, and we live in hope that new things can emerge. One more. Thank you, please. Oh, there's two more. Hooray! There's always more with God. No, please do. Are you going to say the same thing? So will you both come, please? Yeah, lovely.
I think we learned from a past experience that you have to be prepared to put your idea into the pot, but not expect it to be the outcome.
I think that deserves a round of applause. I find that really hard, I have to say. Yeah. And here we go.
And I think mine was related, really, because probably like most people at Greenbelt, I definitely fall into the dreamer category. And I think it can be hard for us who are dreamers sometimes to be sufficiently flexible. And I'm aware that that's something that I need to learn, that other people, God is working equally as much in everybody else's dreams. So just that sort of continuing need for resilient, patient listening that doesn't get bored of the listening and trusts that God is in the community in the end.
Thank you. Thanks very much for that vulnerability. Wonderful.
So when Tina and I work together, we talk a whole lot about posture. And by posture, we mean disposition or assumptions, how we approach something. And this is one of the areas that we often are talking with church leaders about. How do you make that space? And thank you for sharing your ideas about how we can nurture the dreamers that God gives to us to be a blessing to our local communities. We've put on your tables a little sheet, and these are a few of the ideas that we often are playing with. As a church leader in the Church of England, where certainty is highly treasured, part of nurturing space for innovation is being willing to start something without knowing what the end will be. Also, there's the assumption that often we think particularly church leaders, we think we need to be able to know what we're doing. And often innovation is actually just you're taking one step at a time, figuring something out. And then there's being willing to suspend disbelief when you feel that something isn't going to work. I know in congregations I've had that things that I didn't think were going to work, we went ahead and did them, and actually something beautiful and amazing emerged. be willing to be associated with something that fails. So often leadership is about, well, if that doesn't work, well, I'm just going to let other people kind of pay the price for what didn't go right. So part of innovating and nurturing that space is being willing to say, no, that didn't go right. But what have we learned? And then there's the one that I think is a real biggie among church leaders in terms of nurturing space, is be willing to set aside the need to be in charge. Sometimes leaders need to be followers, and that's a real challenge, and that takes real inner work to be able to come to that place to. In order for innovation to be nurtured and to flourish. So we'd like you to, on your tables, to look at those statements. And can you choose one statement? And can you tell, could you come up with a story that illustrates that particular point? And we'd love to be able to hear very briefly that story and what happened and how the dreamers in your communities were liberated. Okay, storytellers, we have. We have space for about two or three very short retellings of something that you noticed or observed, and how that experience or how those circumstances helped to liberate the dreamers in your midst. Anybody like to share?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please come to the mic. If there are two other people, would you like to come to the mic now if you're feeling that nudge to share your story?
Hello, I'm Anthony from Plymouth. So a few years ago, we were in a different city. We were part of a church that established, it was all about creating networks and getting people to join in with the networks that existed of the people who belonged to the church. And we started up a network which was based around watching films. We loved watching films. And we used a village hall to watch the films. And once a month we'd put on the films. We called it Screen Club. And no one came. Four people came. But the thing is that one of those people who did come years later... took the same idea, so the idea failed in quotes, but the one of the people who came put on then took our idea and made it work in a much bigger, more successful context later on, with better publicity and more energy and more enthusiasm. So our thing failed, but his thing really worked, but it wouldn't have happened had we not done the failure first.
We have a round of applause for failure and for Ants. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
I run a pioneer project that focuses around classic cars, and we hold meetings every month and meet in car parks with cars. When COVID came, we couldn't do that, and we had to take it online, and I was in a horrible position of just not knowing anything about how to make classic car ministry work online. What we found were that people just wanted the opportunity to chat, to relate, to talk, not just about cars, but about life and about COVID and about their struggles. And it exploded. I mean, the numbers just grew exponentially. We couldn't believe it. And I remember that feeling of being out of control, and it feeling very chaotic and messy. But pioneering can be chaotic and messy, and actually that's not necessarily a bad place to be in.
Thanks, Adam. Thank you for the applause. So I'd just like you to turn over. Thank you very much. Thank you for all the conversations you've had. Somebody I know wrote this at the end of the training course we offered into lay pioneering. She said, at the end of the course, I felt a kind of opening of a door, breathing in the air, an openness and a freshness of a freedom to be me emerging. I've been in a cage, enclosed, restrained. I haven't been able to fly. And now the door is open and maybe I'll fly. I'm done with the box I've been put in. I'm done with the kind of church that doesn't give a permission to be me. This is an opening of a door and a walking into something new. And in honour of Serena and everybody else who would like to be in a space where they're allowed to get out of the box, there comes Jack popping out of the box I put him in at the beginning. So a quick call to action. Pioneering Parishes is open to people of all denominations, despite the P word in the title. And if you'd like to know more about us, there is a website address on all our produce that's on your tables, or come and speak to Greg and me afterwards. And Matt's going to do a quick call to action, or any length of call to action since it's his space.
It's not my space, it's our space. So the Methodist Church, like Pioneering Parishes, is deeply committed to releasing folks that just have an inkling of an idea that God might be calling them to begin something new where they are. The Methodist Church is putting millions of pounds over the next 7 years into pioneering. So maybe you want to talk to me about that, or just find a home in the Methodist Church. You've got something that's on your heart. I would love to hear about it, because I've got a whole network of people across the UK in Methodism who would love to talk to you. You can find out loads more information about pioneering on the leaflets that are around. There's a slightly overweight middle-aged guy on the table menus. Next to that, you'll find a website, and you can click on that and you could book an appointment with me. Click on there. My diary is open to you to tell me about what you love and what you're dreaming and just how your home as a pioneer might be in the Methodist Church. And you'll also find loads of videos and stuff there. But I would love to talk to you if you've got a vision for pioneering, and just maybe that's within Methodism.
Thank you. Yeah, a round of applause for all of our contributors.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.